You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, we only now realize that July is National Ice Cream Month. So we have some catching up to do. We'll explore a new fad where science makes your scoop taste so much better.
Science!
Hackers have figured out how to take down your car. And finally, somebody can tell us what our dreams mean. That person will join us this hour. And out of the three big movies opening this weekend, one is better than the rest. I bet you can't guess. Manny the Movie Guy joins us to help. And joining us in the studio today, even his kids think he's cool, the diabolical overlord of Gonzo.fm, Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Hey, Phil, you know, remember when your dad used to tell you that he was so cool back in the day? He used to play in a band. And, you know, you just sit there and go, yeah, whatever, sure. But what if that were actually true, right?
Yeah.
Here's the story of Maggie Pakula.
Well, hold on just a second before you tell me the story.
All right,
more than a second.
All right.
By the way, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thank you for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You forgot how we do this. You're helping the show when you do that because the folks at iTunes read your comments. They notice your five-star reviews. And don't forget, subscribe. See, you have to get the business out of the way first, Gons.
How that works?
Yeah, right. You weren't in a band, were you?
I wasn't. My dad was a folk singer, which is pretty pathetic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's only like two famous folk singers, right?
Right. So Maggie here, she's 19. She tweeted out some pictures of her dad, Tony.
Tony playing
in a band in a basement in Raymond, Washington in like spring of 1987.
Oh, grunge days, huh?
So grunge, in fact, her dad was jamming with Nirvana.
No!
Yeah, a picture of her dad with Kurt Cobain and Novoselic and Dave Grohl wasn't with the band yet. There was that Aaron Burkhart guy, I think is his name.
Oh, that guy.
So anyway, she tweeted.
He hangs out with Pete Best.
Right. So she tweeted these pictures, of course, and the internet exploded, going, that is amazing. Like Rolling Stone called her up and interviewed her about it. She's like, yeah, I had no idea that this was, as it turns out, this is probably like Nirvana's actually first concert, if you will, because there were people there to see the show. And her dad stepped in and jammed on, I guess they covered a couple, you know, Zeppelin tunes or something.
Yeah.
And cool. Dad was actually playing with Nirvana in the basement.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I haven't seen these pictures yet, and I'm going to go look for them now, so we should post those so other people can look at them. Only come to our website to look at them, right?
Yeah, we'll put them up on the fun page there or something.
All right. Show fun. Here, we'll get the web munchkins to work with that. Okay. You know who is probably not cool because they're just perennial geeks? It's the guys at NASA and whatever their equivalent agency is in Russia and in Japan and all the different places where they have people up in space hanging out in the International Space Station. These guys are just serious geeks, aren't they?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, they're pretty awesome. I mean, it would be pretty cool to be an astronaut, right?
I suppose it would, yes.
We just sent some new guys up to the space station yesterday, I think. But again, the internet exploded with geek craziness because R2-D2 is now officially aboard the International Space Station.
Wow, how is that possible? They sent the the little tin can up there.
Well, there's a plush toy of R2-D2 on the space station, and I don't know if it's one of the astronauts' snuggly toys or not. But yeah, the story goes that what they do, and they do this on the Soyuz capsule, which is our only way to get to the space station these days.
Yeah.
Since we've decommissioned the shuttle. They do this on the Soyuz capsule, and they do it in the, I think it's SpaceX or whoever's designing that space plane that will you know, take off like a plane and go into space and be able to come back. What they do is they hang something from essentially the rearview mirror.
Yep.
Like, you know, like I don't know what you have on your rearview mirror, like an air freshener or whatever.
No, so I have plush dice on mine.
Okay, yeah, fuzzy dice, right? Whatever. So they got fuzzy R2-D2 up on the rearview, and the reason for that is so when they finally get into space, it's so they understand when they are in approaching zero G, so it'll start to float, and they'll realize they've escaped gravity, and you know, they'll have an idea of exactly where they are.
Yeah,
which I think is an amazingly cool low-tech way to, you know, you're in a spacecraft, yet you have to look at your fuzzy dice to tell you if you've escaped Earth's orbit yet or not.
It's still geeky.
Still geeky and awesome that R2 has actually finally made it into space.
Yeah, how about that? All right. Impressed. Hey, you know who Amy Schumer is, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up.
She's taking some nice photos with R2-D2, and it's not just the plush kind, is it?
No, it's not. There's a great photo spread in GQ magazine, and you might want to look at it before it might be gone, because there is some hubbub with Lucasfilm and Disney over use of Star Wars characters.
Yeah.
But the photos are absolutely awesome. The best one, the one that everybody's kind of gravitating to, is Amy Schumer in bed with C-3PO and R2-D2 in what appears to be essentially a threesome.
Yeah.
And there's a blowtorch involved. You'll get it when you see it. So, but definitely worth looking at.
Yeah. And the whole, the lightsaber, we'll just put it, we'll leave it there. Okay.
They're really outstanding photographs, and I would hope that they'd be protected by, you know, parody or what have you.
Yeah, would think so. Yeah, but she's gonna hurt herself. She'll have to, with that lightsaber. I'm worried for her.
I like the one where everybody's in the car. It's, Chewbacca's in there and Yoda's in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty outstanding.
That's great stuff.
Really great pictures. Yeah, I have, you know, when's the last time you looked at GQ magazine?
Never, but you just Google Amy Schumer, R2-D2, and you'll see all the photos.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. You know what? There's a lesson to be learned. When the Google car drives in your neighborhood with the camera on top, there's a lesson to be learned in there somewhere. If you're out in front, you see it and you want to act like an idiot, you go ahead and do that. But if you're just standing there, maybe you should not just stand there. If you see that car coming, get inside and hide.
Well, it depends on what you've told your wife. If you told your wife you stopped smoking and you went outside into the driveway to have a smoke and the Google car drives by,
yeah,
and you get busted by your wife for smoking because she, you know, looks at Street View on Google Maps and there you are hanging out in the driveway with a cloud of smoke around your head after you told her you were going to quit smoking.
Yeah.
That's kind of come back to bite you in your ass. And it happened to this one guy. I thought we were bouncing this story, so I don't have all the details, but that's the right gist of it. Yeah. Have you ever run into one of those, the Google cars?
I've seen them drive through my neighborhood and kind of in a creepy way. I tailed them for a while.
I see them after they've gone by and I'm like, damn it, I wanted to, you know.
Yeah. I want to see if he's taking pictures, because then if he's taking pictures, then, you know, when you use the Google Street View and you kind of zoom around 360, you move around the street,
right,
then there's a chance that I'll be in one of those shots in my car, you know. So if he's on a main street taking shots, which I know they do, not just residential, they take all the mains, every street.
I saw one of them hanging out parked in front of a bar. I assume he was on break. Oh, so it was a bar restaurant.
There's some photos to be taken in there, too.
Well, sure, probably.
Yeah. All right. Now, just to prove to you how much effort goes into preparing this program, the next story that we're going to do has to do with Star Wars. And so there you go. And that's coming up next. But I'll give you a little hint. Yoda wasn't Yoda's original name. That's next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back, and so are you, because that's pretty much how it works. We talk, you listen. If you'd like us to listen to you as well, there's so many ways to do that, including if you go to philhewlettandfriends.com, you'll see a little blue tab on the right side of the the page, just click on that. If there's a microphone enabled on your computer, you could just click on it, start talking, and then send it. And it's there's no strings attached, none whatsoever. And then we receive your audio, and if it's useful enough or silly enough, we might just play it on the program. Sound like a plan? Good. All right, so, Greg, did you know that Yoda's original name wasn't Yoda?
I did not know this.
The website StarWars.com posted a list of bizarre, behind-the-scenes Star Wars facts. And Yoda wasn't always going to be called Yoda. His original name was Buffy.
Buffy?
Yeah. But a screenwriter...
stupid this is.
Yeah, Lee Brackett changed it to Minch Yoda in his first draft of the Empire Strikes Back script, and then it was just shortened to Yoda. Also, Yoda was originally going to be played by a monkey in a costume.
Wow.
Luckily, they changed their mind.
How would Weird Al have handled things if it was Buffy?
Oh, yeah, right.
Right?
It changes the whole lyrics.
How would that have gone?
No, it wouldn't have gone well at all.
And would Buffy slay vampires? This is another... See, this is a whole conundrum now that we have to deal with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the time-space continuum.
Buffy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, police have a tough job.
They
have no idea. When they walk up, they're just doing a routine stop. They have no idea what's going on in that car. And so every day is just surprise after surprise after surprise.
Sure. I mean, cops, they've been taking a beating lately in the news. I mean, mainly because of the actions of a few. You know,
sure.
We really should remember that there are a lot of guys out there that put their ass on the line every day to legitimately serve and protect, right?
Yes.
But take, for example, this one, unfortunately, unnamed brave officer in Greendale, Indiana, who stopped over at the Circle K to use the restroom while he was out on patrol.
Okay.
And he got in there, and he's like, you know, gotta go. And the door is locked. And he was told by an employee that a guy had been locked inside that restroom for about 30 minutes or so.
Oh.
At some point, somebody who was familiar with the situation, I guess, told the officer that the guy was in the restroom because he was, and I quote, having problems with his butt.
All right.
End quote.
What kinds of problems?
Well, so here's how the story goes. Eventually, one Mr. Matthew B. Smith exited the restroom.
Yeah.
And the officer and his partner noticed that he allegedly had droopy eyes, slurred speech, a white powdery substance on his nose and in his nostrils. Mr. Smith, our hero here, advised the officer that he was in there trying to get some things dislodged from his hinder. officers, who I'm sure later regretted it, asked him what objects exactly.
They just asked out of curiosity.
I'm curious. Just in passing, by the way, what's in your butt? What was in your butt?
Could have been something illicit. It could have been heroin or cocaine
or
something like that.
Sure, our hero Mr. Smith here reached into his pocket and removed a fishing bobber, a screwdriver, and... an open tire plug kit.
Wait a minute. A tire plug kit. I've used these. Let's review what's in a tire plug kit.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the puncture implement to make a hole in the tire, and then it's got like a rasp on the side of it so that you can file the hole down and get it ready so that you use the other tool, which you thread a piece of rope through there, but the rope is completely soaked and it's almost like congealed tar on this rope. And you put it into the hole and you twist on the way back with the tool and it stays inside and creates a plug and it then melds with the actual tire and it's like the tire's brand new. Now,
right.
you grab one of those sticky ropes with your finger and it's not coming off. And he's got one of them in his butt.
Well, you know, whatever floats your boat. Sure, why not? Seems like something to put in there.
Talk about constipation.
During a search, 22 pills and a small plastic baggie containing cocaine were found, which presumably was previously in close proximity to the other items, including the fishing bobber and so forth.
The guy's nutty.
So he's been charged with possession of cocaine. And
absolutely nutty. Yeah. Hey, you want to know... the 25 worst, maybe not all 25, but I'll knock some of these off. The worst names famous bands started out with.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right? Because they didn't like, always have.
Right. We know them by something now, but before that, they were...
Yeah, like Simon and Garfunkel, for instance. Maybe not the best name for a band.
Just
but
rolls up.
It, when they started out in the 50s, they started as Tom and Jerry. See?
Yeah.
That's
They could have stuck with that one. That would have been... I think that might have been better, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Black Sabbath. Right? Ozzy and Tony Iommi and the boys.
Was it originally?
No, it was not originally called Black Sabbath. They were called the Polka Tulk Blues Band.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have gone with that one.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Many CCR fans know that they originally went as the Gollywogs.
Oh, I've read that at one point, yeah.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, yeah, what were the Chili Peppers? What was that before?
Tony Flo and the Miraculously Majestic Masters of Mayhem.
Okay, yeah, that might have been a wise call on that one. There's some bands, though, that didn't take that second step that maybe should have.
Oh, right, right.
You know, I'm looking at you, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, exactly.
Being one of them.
Yeah,
Or Hoobastank might be another one.
Oh, gosh,
possibly,
yeah.
Maybe, like, you know... That's obviously the band was just obviously with Hoobastank.
Yeah.
Was sitting around getting high.
Right.
You know, let's call the band Hoobastank. Yeah. And they just never got around to being not high and deciding to change the name to something reasonable.
Speaking of high, the Doobie Brothers originally went by the name Pud. and on the same topic, Sugar Ray originally went by the Shrinky Dinks.
All right. I see. They sobered up long enough to maybe move forward a little.
Now,
what
if Kiss was originally called Wicked Lester? Would anybody care? That was the original name, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think of the movie That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Once the band gets signed, he comes in, okay, I need something snappy, and you got to change the name.
Yeah.
I mean, how often does that happen? Probably when the record label comes in, they're like, okay, look, we're not going to sell any records if you call it that.
Right. Hey, you had that grunge Nirvana story earlier.
Mm.
Pearl Jam booked their first gig in 1990 under the name Mookie Blaylock, who was point guard for the New Jersey Nets at the time.
I remember that. Not the gig, but the name.
Right. Here's perhaps the best one of all. And who hasn't enjoyed a couple of hours in the dark listening to Creed?
Define enjoy.
The original band name for Creed was Naked Toddler.
Maybe they should have stuck with that.
Yeah.
Would have made them interesting, right. At least on one dimension.
I keep thinking that somebody's going to steal my favorite name, because I'm always thinking of band names, but the ones that stick are the ones that I think are good. Nobody has ever taken Showerhead. Isn't that a great name for a band?
I would go see Showerhead.
It's got several different meanings, hidden or otherwise.
Well, I have a number of band names. One of the things a friend and I do as a hobby is come up with band names.
Oh, really?
And we post them on the internet as in, like, who's playing tonight.
Any you'd like to share?
Well, I just keep a list in my phone as they come up. Let's see. There's the, a lot of these I can't say.
Uh-oh. Right.
There's Old People with Mohawks.
Yeah.
Lead-Footed Stair Stompers.
Nice.
The Cranky Vegans.
Cranky Vegans. I'm there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think last night we came up with the Lady Hitlers. Stinky Mandolins are playing next week.
The Stinky Mandolins. All right.
And Loch Ness Lobster.
That's beautiful.
They're pretty awesome.
Yeah. This is a drinking game, isn't it?
Well, life is a drinking game for me, Phil. So. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you must have stories about drunk guys today.
I think, Phil, if we could, maybe we institute a new feature on the program where we name a drunk of the month.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bars has a parking space that is reserved for the drunk of the month.
Oh.
Which I realize sends mixed messages. But just based on what I came up with today, first of all, let's start off with this guy in Washingtonville, Pennsylvania, who got into trouble with state troopers who had to use a rope to secure him.
Because, wait, isn't that code for hog tie?
I used a rope to secure a combative 25-year-old guy from the town of Milton.
Uh-oh.
Whose blood alcohol content was nearly three times the legal limit.
Yikes.
He was driving his lawn tractor, carrying a box of beer down a county highway because he was going to his buddy's house, literally to have some drinking get done.
On a lawn tractor.
Sure. He's had three drunk driving convictions in the past 10 years.
Uh-huh.
His driver's license is suspended, which I guess explains the lawn tractor.
Mm-hmm.
His spiffy yellow and white Cub Cadet lawn tractor. So apparently tied him up, and so intoxicated he was that he had to be carried to the police cruiser.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, when your legs don't work, you've had a fair amount of drink.
So he's in direct competition. Here's our second contestant for Drunk of the Month.
Yeah.
There is a guy arrested for public intoxication.
Yeah.
He was found passed out in his chair
mm-hmm.
with his shirt off.
Okay.
Wearing slippers.
Yeah.
Key to the story being he's an air traffic controller.
Oh, wait a minute. The chair he was in, that wasn't in a tower, was it?
It was in the tower.
No!
It was in the control tower. It was a small airport, northwest Arkansas.
But it's one I'm avoiding.
But, yeah. And he was very upset when the officer tried to charge him or tell him he was being arrested for public intoxication because he insisted that he was not in public.
Yeah.
He was in the air traffic control tower.
And the police said, you are clear to leave the tower.
Yes, although they didn't handcuff him because they were worried that he wouldn't be able to climb down the ladder.
Oh, no.
At the spiffy tower there.
Ladder. I like that. Not even an elevator. Hey, which movie will take a beating or dish it out this weekend at the box office? Manny the Movie Guy just sent me a note to say that he's our movie godmother. I don't know what that means, but he'll give you his guidance next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It is time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a man who just announced he's thrown his hat into the ring and is running for president of the National Association of Popcorn and Jujubes Appreciation and Consumption Society, or NAPJACS. From KMIR-TV in Palm Springs, it's Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. I'm running for president.
President of NAPJACS. It's not a real organization, I'm sorry. But it's a real weekend for movies. Oh, you know what? Before we get into that, I want to ask you, because the internet is freaking out over the possibility that Space Jam 2 is in the works, starring LeBron James, because he did such a good job with Amy Schumer and Trainwreck, and, of course, Michael Jordan originally. There's a lot of Jordan fans who think it's an insult that you would remake that movie, but and others think Kobe Bryant should be in a sequel, but... I don't know, LeBron James in Space Jam 2. What do you think?
You know what? Based on Trainwreck, like what I said last week, based on Trainwreck, I think LeBron James can pull it off, but he may need some help from Judd Apatow to do just that.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I don't know if you've heard it, but the biggest, I think the biggest movie news for me this week was the emoji icons that we use in our smartphones is going to be a big movie.
The emoji movie, yeah.
That I can't believe, and I don't know how they're going to pull it off. But
me neither.
This one is from the guy who gave us Kung Fu Panda, or who's going to give us the prequel of Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, okay.
It may be good.
No, those movies are both good. And Jurassic World, by the way, now the third highest grossing movie of all time.
Officially, yes.
Yeah, so.
Yep, just after Titanic and Avatar.
Yeah, it's going to catch a Titanic, I think.
Sorry, Marvel, the Avengers. I don't think so. I mean, worldwide, Titanic is 2.4 billion.
Yeah.
And right now, Jurassic World is still like I think about 1.4 or 1.5. So
I've never seen Avatar still though. I'm the guy.
It's only okay.
Really? No, I love that.
Did you?
Really?
I loved Avatar. I really did when I first
It was pretty. It was pretty, but I thought the story was pedestrian.
Yeah, it's like Dances with Wolves, that's right. In space.
But that blue lady, though, that space blue lady, she's pretty hot.
Oh, I love her, yeah.
Yeah, she's something else. All right, so let's get to this weekend's movies. Adam Sandler is back in a strange concept that looks fun in a Ghostbusters sort of way. What do you think?
That's right. It's called Pixels, of course, and arcade games from the 80s are attacking Earth. That's the premise of this new movie with Sandler, an actor who hasn't had a hit in a while, which makes me think, could it be game over for the actor?
I thought it was already.
I know, right? But much like other Sandler movies, Pixels features very few laughs and showcases a man-child of an actor who refuses to grow up. But it's a little better that this one, though, is directed by the competent Chris Columbus, who gave us the first Harry Potter movie and wrote some of the most memorable 80s films, such as The Goonies and Gremlins. Too bad he is saddled with a lackluster script. And you can probably predict what's going to happen in the movie. The plot has Sandler, Kevin James, playing the president of the United States.
Kevin James does movies other than Mall Cop.
Exactly. But still with Adam Sandler forever.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage, of course, and Josh Gad, who played Olaf in Frozen, all playing arcade game veterans from the 80s and are now fighting aliens who thought that the video game feeds they're seeing are a declaration of war. But this, I declare, Dinklage and Gad nearly save the movie, nearly. But Sandler's antics keep on pulling them down. The special effects are commendable, though, and nostalgic fans who grew up in the 80s may enjoy this movie. Pixels is well-crafted but hollow and as interesting as watching a Pong game.
Somebody said that Qbert was like the star of the show.
Yeah, I was so happy to see Qbert. And I really, honestly, I grew up in the 80s, too, so I was happy to see Galaga and Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and all of those things.
Love it.
Even Smurf showed up.
What do you think, Gonzo Greg? Dinklage and Gad, does that sound like a good band name?
I believe they are playing this week. At this
weekend. And is Peter Dinklage his given name, or did he make that up? Because it does sound like that came up after a couple of beers.
No, it's part his name is Eddie Plant.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's his name in the film.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
All right. Now, have we had enough boxing movies yet?
What was the real last boxing movie that we all loved?
The Clint Eastwood one with the lady boxer.
Very good, Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, though, that Southpaw, you're referring, of course, to Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal. Southpaw is not as smart and brilliant as even Rocky or Million Dollar Baby.
Oh.
But the point is, Gyllenhaal delivers a knockout punch as a self-destructive boxer who must find redemption. Yep, it may sound hokey, and at times it is, but hang in there because the actor digs deep into his character's psyche. I also enjoyed Forrest Whitaker, by the way, who matches Jake Gyllenhaal wit by wit. Even 50 Cent, the newly bankrupt 50 Cent, showed up as the manager of Gyllenhaal's character.
I love when Forrest Whitaker puts that creepy eye of his to work. It really... It really adds, doesn't it?
That's more memorable, I think, than any of his characters combined. Directed by Training Day's Antoine Fuqua, I'm recommending Southpaw, even though it's loaded with sports movie cliches.
Yeah,
but Gyllenhaal, again, gives a bare-knuckle performance that will stay with you long after the final round.
Yeah, okay, fine. And then there's Paper Towns. It looks like a teen movie to me with a lesson.
Well, yes, because you know why? Thank you for bringing that, because it's my pick of the week, actually.
It is.
Year,
oh.
Yes. Last year, author John Green gave us a fantastic teen romantic drama, The Fault in Our Stars. This year, also from the same studio, Fox Searchlight, comes Paper Town. It's not as thought-provoking as The Fault in Our Stars, but it's equally heartfelt. And I told you, it's my pick of the week.
Oh.
This one tells a coming-of-age story between Quentin, played by Nat Wolff, and Margot is Cara Delevingne. She loved mysteries until her life became one. One night, Margot suddenly vanished. All what's left for Quentin to figure out are cryptic clues, but as Quentin heads out to find her, he also finds the true meaning of friendship and love.
Aww.
The Paper Towns could have been paper thin, but director Jake Schreier, who gave us the amazing, amazing Robot and Frank from 2012.
Yes, one of my favorite movies.
He's a gifted storyteller, and is able to lift the melodrama out of this movie. Just like The Fault in Our Stars, just when you think you're headed for a melodramatic three-hanky weeper, you're steered back to an affecting love.
How many kisses?
This one actually gets 3.5.
Oh.
Jake Gyllenhaal Southpaw gets 3, and Pixels, sorry, I love Adam Sandler, by the way. In person, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He only gets 1.5. Sorry.
1.5 kisses. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And thanks for bringing up Robot and Frank. Greg, have you seen that movie?
Never seen it. No.
You have to get that one. Robot and Frank is just spectacular.
All right.
Just a great movie. All right. MandyTheMovieGuy.com. Visit his website. Look at the interviews. He gets attacked by Qbert this week on the website. You want to see that for sure. But he does end up surviving, and it's good because we'll have you back.
Lord, right?
We'll have you back on the show soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Have a great weekend at the movies. Manny the Movie
you
Guy.
Too.
All right. There he goes. All right. So do you have any memorable dreams last night, Gonzo?
Yeah.
Oh, one of those, huh?
Yeah.
Well, finally on the program, we're going to have a dream expert, and we'll tell you all about that. She's coming up on the program next, and I just swear I've got some notes here about her somewhere, but I can't find them. But it's all going to come together, I promise, and that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, I want you to stay awake for this segment because we're going to talk about dreams, your recurring dreams, what they mean, and a bunch of other things related to this. And I want you to visit a website when you have a moment. It's called thedreamzone.com. We have it linked on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. And it's operated by a professional dream analyst who goes by the name Lori Loewenberg. And hey, look, she's on the program right now with us. Hi, Lori.
Well, hello there. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Even better now that you're here.
Yay!
Listen to you. You're so excited. I like that. Now, we all dream, I'm pretty sure. I mean, every now and then you'll meet somebody who's dour and down on themselves, and they say, I don't dream. I never dream. Is it possible to not dream? I mean, do people not realize they're dreaming and they are dreaming, or what's the deal there?
Yeah, you are dreaming. It is a natural, necessary function of the brain. Every night when you sleep, you enter REM sleep, which is when we dream, and that happens about every 90 minutes throughout the night.
Yeah.
A lot of people think they don't dream, or they'll say, I haven't dreamt and I don't know how long. You're just not remembering them.
Yeah, yeah. I very often dream that I'm naked somewhere, at work or at a party, and nobody else is naked. It's just me.
Can you draw me a diagram of that dream?
That's right, Phil. I often dream of you naked as well.
Do you?
That's a story for another time.
That's strange. And I would imagine you dreaming about me naked is not a common dream. But is a naked in public kind of thing, is that a common dream?
Yeah, that one's really common.
And why is it? Why do I have that dream?
Well, we all get it from time to time because we all experience feeling vulnerable from time to time or feeling embarrassed.
Oh.
And ultimately, that's what that dream is connected to. We get it when we're in a situation where we feel all eyes are on us.
Yeah.
And we worry about how other people perceive us, not necessarily how they perceive us physically, but rather how they perceive us as a whole.
That's odd because in my dreams, I'm generally good with the idea that I'm naked and nobody else is.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you're not freaking out.
No. No, I was just, you know, I do find that I have to explain it to people, but then, okay, fine, here's the explanation. Now, let's talk about something else.
Okay. Here's what it is when you're enjoying your nudity, because sometimes that's a much less often feeling in the naked dream. Usually we're freaking out and trying to hide.
Yeah.
And no one else in the dream really seems to notice that we're naked. We're the only ones aware of it.
Right, yeah.
But in the ones where you're enjoying the nudity or it doesn't bother you at all, that one's actually connected to honesty.
Oh, well,
getting
see.
Getting something off your chest, opening up and letting it all hang out, so to speak. I have a feeling that's probably you.
Okay, good. See, I like you even better than I did when I first started talking with you.
Yay, me.
Now, if we talk about common dreams, what are some of the other ones that people have all the time?
Being chased. Do you get that one?
Yeah. You know what I do? I either being chased or I'm in the house with the wife and kids and somebody's breaking in and I go over it, the dream repeats over and over again, different scenarios, how I'm going to ambush the guys that are breaking into the house and ultimately win. And in some cases, I don't, and say, okay, so then it rewinds. I'm not dead anymore, and it rewinds, and I try another tack. And that dream happens a lot.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so that's not necessarily being chased. That's more an intruder dream, and those are pretty common, too.
Yeah, all right, but not chased. I don't get chased.
Is connected to some kind of issue or problem intruding upon your normal peaceful state of mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I love how in your dreams you're ready to tackle it.
Oh yeah, it's constantly. It's like I'm Liam Neeson. But the chase thing. I mean, who's chasing you? A cheetah?
Well, different things can be chasing you. It can be just some kind of nondescript, dark, shadowy person. It can be an animal. It can be an axe murderer.
Yeah.
It can be an alien. You know.
Wow.
You never know.
How about driving dreams and you can't put on the brakes?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Well, a good common one. It doesn't necessarily have a good meaning, but that one you will get when there's something that's going on in your life that's been going on for too long and you need to slow down.
And is it not just because your foot's asleep?
No, because this one is so common, and it people like addicts will get this dream because it's about putting a brake on the addiction.
Oh, really?
Well, now, okay, now who makes up these rules, though? This is my question, because, you know, is there a consensus between all the dream people who decide being chased means this or falling dreams mean that? Do you guys get together and decide that this is what they mean, or how does this consensus come about?
Well, what we're talking about, the dream symbols are what we call archetypes, which are certain elements that show up in our dreams that kind of mean the same thing across the board for everyone. And the way we've come to this conclusion is over thousands of years of study, which is basically doing a comparative analysis between dream imagery and the content of the previous day.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Hey, do we dream in black and white? I always heard that that's the case. I can't tell you for sure.
Myth. That's a myth.
That's a myth.
See in color, you're going to dream in color.
Oh, okay.
Now, once in a while, you may get a dream that seems like it's black and white, or the colors are muted, or it's shades of gray.
Yeah.
And that's typically connected to depression.
Ooh. That's not good. And there seems like, and maybe I'm just confused because I'm in a sleep state, but it seems like I'll have a dream that lasts for hours, and I'll wake up and I'll say, I've only been asleep for like 10 minutes. But maybe I'm confused about that. Do dreams happen in real time, or are they just in a blip of a second and they seem
like? They happen in real time.
Oh.
The funny thing about dreams is that each session of dreaming throughout the night will be longer than the previous one. So your first dream of the night will be about 5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It gets longer and longer throughout the night, and the last dream you have before you wake up in the morning can be 45 minutes long.
Wow. Yeah. Those are often the best ones, too.
Yeah, those are the feature-length film dreams.
Yeah, but then they're so hard to remember, aren't they?
Dreams are hard to remember, and that drives me crazy because they're such a powerful and informative part of who we are, but they're so slippery.
Yeah.
But would you like a trick that will help you remember your dreams?
I love tricks, yes, please.
Okay, and this one is Dr. Oz approved.
Okay.
What you want to do when you wake up in the morning, or if you're waking up in the middle of the night, you have to go to the bathroom. Whenever you wake up, you have got to stay put. You need to remain in the exact same position you wake up in, because that is the position your body was in when dreaming.
Uh-oh.
Moving, rolling over, getting out of bed, that will unplug you from the memory of the dream you were just in. So you just got to give yourself, like, 3 minutes of quiet, still time when you wake up and let the dream come back to you. And that's really all it takes. And the more you make this a habit, the stronger your dream recall will get. You'll start remembering all your dreams every morning.
How about that? I liked looking through the notes that we were provided before interviewing you. And so there are some recurring dreams, seems to me, that would require you to seek professional help. The one in particular, a lot of celebrities have talked about the recurring dreams, and the only one I care about now is Madonna. Apparently has a recurring dream about being harassed by a knife-wielding dwarf.
Yeah.
Actually, that's me. That's not a dream. That's actually me doing that. Yeah.
You're the one with a knife?
Yeah, I'm a dwarf with a knife. That's me.
What is that? That doesn't mean anything, does it?
It does. Now, recurring dreams say a lot about our personalities, and this actually reveals a lot about Madonna.
Yeah.
Okay, she is a huge celebrity, huge reputation, huge career, huge bank account. Everything about her is big. She does everything in a big way.
Yeah.
But she has said on many occasions that no matter, you know, how great a show is or a movie or whatever she's done, she'll be the type that focuses on that one criticism.
Oh.
And she lets it get to her. So the dwarf represents how she allows criticism to bring her down to size. And the knife is the cutting remarks.
How about that? If people want to get information, you have books out, you have you can do readings, you can do all these things. You go to thedreamzone.com, is that correct?
Yeah, just remember the Twilight Zone, the Dream Zone.
The Dream Zone. And we have that linked on our links page. And the, another link we have, and I just have a, about a half a minute for you to tell us about this, but it's fascinating and beautiful at the same time. I don't want to let you get away without telling us about your side job where you paint pictures. Well, you explain it.
Oh, okay. Yes, I am also a pinup artist, and I do pinup portraits of ladies. They make great gifts for your wife, or if you're a lady, it's a great gift for your hubby or your boyfriend. I paint you as a pinup, and we can do it in vintage style, or we can do a more modern one, and we can get as dirty or as classy as you want it to be.
Wow. And I looked at some of them there, and it's okay if we just print out the ones you've already painted, right, and pin those up on our wall.
Yes, you may.
Just in case there isn't somebody willing to pose for you for the photo. But I can tell you, looking at some of the ladies, it's quite a transformation that you do for them, and it's a great service. And that website is youasapinup.com.
Yeah, and you can actually get there from thedreamzone.com. That's kind of the conglomeration of all my sites.
Right, and if you forget all of these, they're on the links page at philhewlettandfriends.com because that's the one that everybody remembers, of course. It's like Google. There are two or three, Google, Yahoo, philhewlettandfriends.com.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
In your dreams, Phil.
Nice to speak with you, and we're going to have you on again. I have so many more questions. Lori Loewenberg, professional dream analyst, thank you and sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
All right, there we go. They all say that, all the dream analysts, right? They all say sweet dreams. But she was good, wasn't she, Greg?
Yeah, she's. That's pretty cool, and that pinup site is actually pretty awesome.
It is.
I was just looking at that a minute ago. Yeah.
And the pictures are great, and there's some celebrities that have had the pictures taken, the whole thing.
So as we go off to war,
yes,
we can have our pinup in our... Footlocker, right? Is that where you would keep them?
Yes.
In your footlocker.
No, you just stick it on your airplane.
Right. Yeah, in the cockpit, as it were.
That's right. Okay. Now what? Pinups very often wear smaller amounts of clothing than they normally would. Did you know that the thong became a thing back in 1939 in New York? When the mayor... 1939. The mayor told strippers they had to wear underwear. So, obviously, the strippers wanted something as small as possible. That was 1939. They had strippers back then? The possibility of your grandma being a stripper has now increased. Hey, that's it for Hour 1 of the program. There's more to come, including the mystery of the sex toys on the power lines has been solved. Is McDonald's about to do something we've been asking them to do forever? And thanks to science, it's just like if the Third Reich was running a dating website. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is Hour 2 of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, Sharknado 3.
Yes!
Really, really cold ice cream. And after they forced you to download U2's album, what could go wrong with Apple's new music app? Gonzo Greg Spillane is here with us today. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. It's a little program we do here that we are pleased that you listen to all the time. Thank you. So, Greg, let's get things started in the second hour. We're packed. We have so much to do here. But I think the important service that we do here is giving people the tips, the information they need to have the self-awareness and self-confidence to go on in life, realizing that, yes, indeed, they have the tools, or in this case, singular, to survive out there in a competitive world.
I think I see where you're going with this.
I'm where am I going sure. exactly?
Do you have, well, is your subscription to the Journal of Sexual Medicine still current? Do you still get that?
I think I've been getting the bill, and it's gotten to the point where they're sending me the pink 3x5 card that says your subscription is about to run out.
Time to renew, yeah. It's. I never thought I'd be writing this letter. Dear Journal of Sexual Medicine, I never thought I'd be writing this letter, but the Journal of Sexual Medicine, God bless them and the work they do, they have set out with a new survey, a study actually by the scientists at the University of Zurich who have published this study. The study being, what is a good-looking penis?
What is a good-looking penis?
Well, that's what they set out to find out, and they used a focus group of 105 women, which is where I pause and go, how do you round up that focus group without getting arrested?
And well, they have to find women who have a modicum of focus ability.
Well, sure, but how do you go about that? Hey, we want to show you a lot of pictures of penises.
Yes.
So how do
Do they get a cross-section of women? Women who have...
ranging from ages 16 to 45.
Participated in activities with penis as opposed to those who have not.
Would have to be familiar with penis in order to rank the importance of eight penile aspects.
Oh. Eight? So
eight different aspects, none of which I really feel comfortable going into right now.
But no.
To get this down to the results of the survey, from what I understand, is that... size doesn't really matter as long as it's beautiful and well-groomed.
Well-groomed?
Grooming is general cosmetic appearance was the number one thing that came back from the research. So, yeah, grooming. You know what? I got to say, I kind of miss the days like when the phrase, I cut myself shaving, had nothing to do with it being uncomfortable when you sit down.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That was totally an unrelated phrase, and now it's kind of part and parcel of the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally it came back to just general cosmetic appearance and then grooming.
Yeah.
And then from there, skin and girth and other things.
Yeah.
Of that nature.
Right. Tattoos. No?
Yes. The tattoos may or may not be a factor in all.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. The tugboat that turns into a battleship.
Sure. Right. Exactly.
All right, fine. Let's move along, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Because the authorities up in, is it in Portland? They've been trying to solve this mystery for some time now. We've been talking about it. It seemed for like 3 weeks now. Sex toys hanging off of power lines, and nobody knows
Portland.
Why.
Yeah, Portland, speaking of penis, penis in the sky, apparently. there were sex toys hanging from the phone lines or the power lines around Portland, and nobody knew why this was happening all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was a sudden outbreak of this happening, and what they've dubbed the adult sex toy fairy apparently has come forward, and she has said why she started doing it. Apparently.
Why did she start doing it?
Apparently, her and her friends received a donation, they received 10,000 rejected sex toys from a commercial manufacturer. They were unable to sell them because of what is called a design flaw, which is not, there's no further information on that.
105 ladies in Zurich didn't approve.
Apparently found them unappealing, and so they've been hurled into the phone lines in Portland.
Wow.
And so there was no reason other to do that. Her quote was, it had to be done. I have no idea why, but it had to.
Oh.
She went on to say that, how do I phrase this? Detossing is an exercise in happiness. It was just a fun, hilarious thing to do.
But is it against the law?
That's still being investigated, and it's being referred to the city's Office of Neighborhood Involvement.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say they're getting involved way deeper than they ever thought they would be.
That's how things work in Portland, apparently.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no. Sharknado 3, oh, hell no.
I forgot to watch it.
last night on how did you forget? The internet reminded you every 4 seconds with another tweet about how amazing it was.
That movie's about sharks falling from the sky, isn't it?
Sharknado. Yeah, it's the third movie about sharks falling out of the sky. A tornado made of sharks that comes out of the sky and sharks eat people.
And we still love it.
In tornado. Yes. April, Tara Reid, is now pregnant, right?
With a shark baby?
Right. Well, no. But because of the last one, she now it's got like a chainsaw on her arm. The end of her arm is like a chainsaw thing.
Nice.
And then Finn, Ian Ziering, right? That guy.
Right.
He's now in Washington because he's a big deal authority on Sharknadoes.
Yeah.
And he's getting a medal from President Mark Cuban.
No.
Because, you know, because of the last Sharknado and because he sawed his way out of the inside of the, right? And so now there's another Sharknado while he's there, of course, attacks Washington, D.C., right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're attacking and they stab a shark, impale a shark on the American flagpole. And then the White House is destroyed.
Oh.
And the entire Eastern Seaboard clearly in danger because there's more Sharknadoes that are going to come, right?
Oh.
So Frankie Muniz and who else? Jerry Springer and the entire morning desk of the Today Show all die.
Oh, good.
Which is actually the upside of the entire thing.
Yeah.
So clearly when this happens, when you lose the Today Show, you got to go into space because there's sharks from the Sharknado going into outer space.
No.
So who do you get? Don't mock me, man. Who do you get? You get David Hasselhoff to pilot a top secret space shuttle into outer space to help defeat the Sharknado.
Greg?
Yes.
Did I mention I didn't watch it yet?
Oh, I will. Then I won't give away the ending.
Oh, good, because you're spoiling it like crazy. Oh,
no, wait. You don't even know.
Oh, okay, good.
So
then
if
save.
You're with
no,
me
no,
for
no.
that,
save.
When you get to the ending, you will
all
weep.
Right.
It's so beautiful.
You'll
and
weep
romantic
of the beauty,
it
the shark
really,
beauty.
Yes.
Absolutely. Let's play a game, Greg.
Okay.
I'll say a name of a food.
All right.
And you make the first noise, not a word, but the first noise that comes to mind. Pizza.
Okay.
Bacon. Ice cream.
Yeah!
All right, that settles it. We're talking ice cream. With the founder of a new chain of ice cream parlors that puts a trendy but tasty scientific twist on preparing your ice cream, that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Back in 1984, President Reagan designated July as National Ice Cream Month. He recognized ice cream as a fun and nutritious food that is enjoyed by more than 90% of the nation's population. And here's a quick ice cream
jelly beans,
ice cream history lesson for you. Do you want one of those? Good.
Okay, yeah.
As far back as the 2nd century BC, dudes like Alexander the Great, King Solomon, and Nero used to send runners to the mountains to get snow so that they can mix in honey, fruit, and nectar, which they would enjoy while watching the runners get tortured and killed for taking so long. I added that part. The cream part happened more than 1,000 years later. Marco Polo returned to Italy from the Far East with a recipe for what we now call sherbet. Historians believe that recipe evolved into ice cream by the 16th century simultaneously in Italy and in England. It wasn't until 1660 that ice cream was made available to the general public.
And then there was a truck that played Turkey in the Straw,
yeah.
And you would freak out and run into the street.
By the way, it was a cafe in Paris, not an ice cream truck. A recipe was introduced that blended milk, cream, butter, and eggs. We're using different stuff today. Ice cream continues to evolve. There's a new trend, and parlors are popping up all over. Let's bring on the founder of one of those. It's called Creamology Labs. Creamology Labs rolls off your lips, except when you have ice cream in there and your tongue's frozen. Sean Boland Parvez, welcome to the program.
Hello, Phil. Thanks for having us here, and it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Yes, great that you're here, Sean. Thanks. At Creamology Labs, you've added some science to the ice cream experience. What is it that you do?
Well, we make ice cream from scratch using liquid nitrogen and only the most fresh and premium and locally sourced ingredients.
Well, now let's back up there. The first ingredient that you talked about was liquid nitrogen. I don't typically think of that in my ice cream.
Yes, well, I mean, it's a whole new way of making ice cream. Liquid nitrogen is negative 321 degrees.
Ooh.
And, it's super, super cold. And when you use liquid nitrogen to flash freeze the ice cream base compared to the old-fashioned churning way, you just get a whole new level of smoothness and creaminess.
That's real cold, but what's different? Is there a different density to the ice crystals or what?
It is, yes. Once flash frozen, there is going to be this process does not allow any air to enter to the ice cream.
Oh.
Regular ice creams you get anywhere else have about 30% air. So one scoop is about 30% air. So the density is not like what we offer. And also the flash freezing process does not let any icicles to form, or it makes the milk particles really, really small.
Ah, so you're less likely to get freezer burn if you stick it in a tub and throw it in the freezer after that.
Probably, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. Now walk me through an order. I come up to the counter at Creamology Labs. What do I select from, and then what do I see, and how long does it take?
Well, it takes us about, the freezing process takes about, I would say 7 to 10 seconds.
Ooh.
That's how long it takes to freeze the ice cream.
Yeah.
But usually we have long lines, and usually it takes about, 5 to 10 minutes for you to get your order.
Oh, am I picking from a list of ingredients? Is that how that works?
When a customer comes into Creamology, they expect a customizable, made-to-order ice cream.
Yeah.
And the way to choose, if you choose what kind of base you want, we have a all-natural organic, and we're also bringing a non-dairy base really soon.
Yeah.
So you get to choose between what kind of ice cream base you want.
Yeah.
The next step would be to choose your flavor. And we have about 30-plus flavors that you can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
We're also introducing about 10, 15 more in the coming weeks.
Okay.
And also, the last step is to customize it exactly the way you want it. So if you want Reese's, buttercups in there, or if you want M&M's, or if you want Nutella, whatever you want as a mix-in,
yeah,
whether fresh fruit, strawberries, mangoes, bananas.
If I want to achieve 2,000 calories per scoop, then I could probably do that, right?
You can.
In an extra side of nitrogen, please. That'd be awesome.
Now, let me ask you this, because you talked about that negative 300-something degrees. And we know who works behind counters at most food joints. Can employees get severely burned if they're not careful?
No, not really. I mean, our system, we actually engineered it ourselves with the help of a team of engineers. And the process is super, super safe. There is no way that you could actually get injured. By the time the nitrogen comes out of our system and hits the ice cream, it turns into gas. So it's not really liquid nitrogen.
So you can't lose a finger if you're just careless.
not using, yeah, if you're not using our system, if you stick your finger into liquid nitrogen, you could.
Hey, look what I can do.
Yeah, don't do that. That sounds bad.
And by the time you serve it to the patron and they put a spoonful of that delicious ice cream, customized ice cream, into their mouth, it is quite a bit warmer than minus 300, I would assume.
No, of course, yes. It's safe. It's super, super safe. It's just a different experience. It's much more creamy and delicious compared to anything else.
Well, I got
to
try this. Does nitrogen give you gas?
Yeah.
No.
It is a gas, but it doesn't give you gas. And you swear it tastes better. That's something.
It is. It's guaranteed to taste better, or we'll make it right for you.
How many Creamology locations are there now?
We currently have one. It's in Whittier, Wickwood Town Center, but we're all working on three more locations.
Whittier is in California, and three more of the others are in the same general vicinity?
It is, yes. Whittier is in Los Angeles County. We're doing one more in Los Angeles and two more in Orange County, California.
So you're just getting started. That's something.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We only have like three, four locations coming up for now.
So let's say I want to join forces with you and take over the world with my tank of liquid nitrogen. Are you franchising this?
Yes, we are looking to franchise in I would say as little as 3 months.
3 months. Okay. All right. Good. Creamologylabs.com. If you can't remember that, just go to the website, philhewlettandfriends.com, because I know you have that memorized, and it's on our links page. And what a pleasure to speak with you. We love ice cream. And are you doing anything special? Are there sales, any deals for July, which is National Ice Cream Month?
For the ice cream month, yes, we are. We are doing, if you come to the store by the end of this month, check in on Facebook or Instagram, you get two free toppings.
Oh, there we go. Now we're up to 2,200 calories. I love that. Sean Boland Parvez, he's the founder of Creamology Labs, and he's coming to a town near you with his parlor. How about that? Nice to talk with you. Nicely done. Can't wait to try some.
Sounds great. Thank you for having us again. It was a pleasure.
All right. Sure was. So what do you think, Greg? You good with that liquid nitrogen?
Yeah, I was just looking at Creamology.com. You can apply for a job there.
Yeah, well, it's actually Creamologylabs.com. So
Creamologylabs.com.
The one you're looking at is a strip club.
Well, yes, but...
Well, yeah, but...
What's your point? Point being?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Hey, by the way, did you know that there have been four babies born... In Disneyland history? Born in Disneyland.
Born in Disneyland?
Born in Disneyland, yeah.
Really? Wow, yeah. What do you get for that?
Our Ryan Hayden, our production assistant in the control room there, has a day job at Disneyland, and he's shaking his head. Yes, he delivered one of these, I believe.
Really?
But all four of the babies born at Disneyland were girls.
Hmm.
And there's an urban legend, and Ryan, maybe you can confirm or deny this, an urban legend that those four girls who were born at Disneyland get free admission to the park for life.
Oh, that's a lie. I know that's a lie.
He thinks it's true, and he works there.
Yeah, I know. What they do is they put them to work in It's a Small World.
You
think that those are all puppets and stuff, but no. There's actual babies in there.
That's right.
Just all day, 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Small World. Yeah, that's what happens. So, ladies, do not give birth at Disneyland because your child ends up a slave in It's a Small World.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, did I do the New Mexico State Senate bill yet? Did I do that during the program, or was that?
I don't think we've we haven't talked about that. No, you mentioned it to me earlier.
Back in the 90s, there was a bill in the Senate in New Mexico that required psychologists to wear wizard's hats when they testify in court.
This is awesome.
A senator apparently tacked it onto another bill. It was just kind of hidden in there. And it was one of the, you know how bills are. They're like 3,000 pages long.
Well, it's like a band writer. They put stuff in there just to make sure people are actually reading it, right?
Yeah,
so they put the wizard hat in there just to see if anybody's actually reading this thing before they signed it into law.
Now,
right?
Luckily for psychologists and luckily for folks who manufacture wizard's hats, that little tidbit of information was caught and taken out by a House of Representatives guy before they voted on it.
Can't we make all members of the Senate wear dunce caps? shouldn't that be in there? I mean, that would make sense, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody would support that.
It would make perfect sense.
Exactly. That's where you could identify them since they never show up to vote, right?
Yeah,
so when they're out walking around or whatever, you can say, oh, I know who you are.
Yeah. Hey, wasn't there a snake bite story out there somewhere? Some guy got bitten by a rattlesnake?
Yeah, this is, I mean, that sucks, right?
Getting
bit by a rattlesnake, but it happens a lot in North America, 7 to 8,000 people a year.
That is a lot.
In the United States alone. Don't get bitten by a rattlesnake. The advice I can give you, just because it seems like it'd be unpleasant, but then what do? You go to the hospital, right?
Yeah.
And then after you go to the hospital, you get released. You're like, oh, wow, I'm glad I'm okay. And then a couple of days later, you open the mailbox, and there's your bill for your hospital stay.
Uh-oh.
For this guy in San Diego, his total charges, $153,161.25.
Holy mackerel.
I know. And he got out like on the 17th, and the bill was due at the end of the month.
Yeah. Oh, great. Nice. And so what was all the cost? Was it
the pharmacy, so mostly the antivenom, was $83,341.
That stuff is rare, is short supply or whatever, and it's hard
to
get.
It's not that rare. It's not $83,000 rare. Nothing,
probably not.
Nothing's $83,000.
It's a made-up price. Rare. That's right. Hey, you know what? Is technology's focus on finding you the perfect match starting to get a little scary? Like Hitler scary? And can hackers take over the wheel of your car while you're driving? We have those stories and more with our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni. He's coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to talk tech. And some scary stuff on the agenda today. Joining us live is the head of mobile at Apogee. He's our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy. Yellow Jeremy.
Mute is a good thing.
Oh, there we go. There he is. Hello. There, the mute button. That'll get you every time. Doing good. Nice that you're here. All right, we've got scary stuff today. And the first scary thing, Apple Music. It's giving people nightmares.
Well, yeah, it sure sounded good when they first announced it. Unlimited music on all of your devices for about $10 a month, $15 for a family of four. But it's really been kind of a bumpy start. I'm not sure if any of you guys have played around with it, but I've had some challenges.
Yep.
When I first signed up, I hopped on an airplane and planned to listen to my existing music library. But because I had just signed up for Apple Music, it actually prevented me from listening to any music for that entire flight until it was able to actually talk to Apple. Not a good start. And another...
Well, define talk to Apple.
Basically what happens is once you sign up for Apple Music, you have all of your existing music, and then now you've got access to millions of songs on Apple's library. Mm-hmm. And in the sense that they're trying to make things convenient for you and make all of your music available everywhere, they actually convert your music and make it available in the cloud. And what that really means is that anytime that you're playing music, it's actually going to have to check in with Apple to make sure that you've got the ability to play that music. And I hadn't to set it up to work offline or download music from
ability Apple. To play, as in back in 1996 or 97, you were active on Napster and that sort of thing. And
exactly.
You still have those songs in your hard drive, and Apple may or may not want you to hear those anymore.
You know, I think that I ripped them from CDs that I purchased legally.
Of course.
It's where my library came from. But anyways, lots of people are having problems. And one of the things that was interesting is Jim Dalrymple, who runs an online blog, he's a notorious Apple supporter, he just put up a post and basically said, Apple Music is a nightmare, and I'm done with it. He has gone back to Spotify, and he's trying to rebuild his library, which got completely trashed after he switched to Apple.
That's awful. I mean, people have thousands of songs in many cases.
Yeah, he's estimating that he's lost something like 4,500 songs.
Ay, so. Gosh. And we'll assume that he paid for each and every one of those.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's been fine for me because I had no songs in there. You know, so I'm like, so for me, I can listen to anything anywhere, and it's been no problem. But
you did have that entire U2 album.
That's true. Right.
Yeah. I have had that thing pop up in my Apple Play playlist, which has been just awful.
That's funny. Now, Jeremy, with all the connectivity in cars these days, hackers must be licking their chops to drive drivers crazy, or worse.
This one is actually scary. So a pair of security researchers have just demonstrated a zero-day exploit. And what that means is it's a vulnerability that they've found that is not known by the manufacturer. What they did is they talked to Andy Greenberg, who's a journalist for Wired, had him hop in a Jeep and get on the freeway. And what they were able to do is, as he was driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, they were able to remotely connect in, start playing around with the air conditioner, the radio, and the windshield wipers. As I'm sure you can imagine, that would be pretty freaky just having that stuff start going.
Yeah.
But then things got really serious. They cut the transmission of the car on the freeway, and he just came to a stop, essentially, right in the middle of the freeway.
Wow.
That's always a good thing to do with a guy you work with, you know?
Right.
Like,
so,
hey, buddy.
You know, He's frantically calling them, asking them to stop, because now he's literally on a freeway with, you know, semis passing him and so forth.
Yeah.
And this wasn't even the worst of it. Once he was able to get off the highway, he went to a parking lot, which is a safer area to be doing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to then unleash their full arsenal. They were able to, you know, engage the brakes or completely disable them, even hijack the steering controls.
No
so
kidding.
This is pretty serious stuff. And, you know, originally we were worried about people that were nearby the car being able to talk to its wireless that way. But what these guys have found is that they're able to connect to pretty much any of the Chrysler vehicles that were made from 2013 to current that run the new technology, their new head unit that is called Uconnect, which allows you to use the internet and have traffic updates and so forth.
Is it only Chrysler?
It is only Chrysler vehicles at this point. That's where these guys have spent their time looking at vulnerabilities and so forth. But I think it really does, you know, kind of sets the stage for other manufacturers that, you know, haven't been, you know, focused on. And, you know, there could be, you know, problems with those as well. But this is terrifying that somebody could remotely, over a wireless connection, connect to almost 500,000 vehicles that are on the road.
Well, you know, all the other manufacturers, they've all got their systems. I mean, Ford, Chevy, you know, GM, and Toyota has one. I think it's called Entune, something like that. But often what happens is you just connect to an app on your phone, and the dashboard speaks to your phone. And is that kind of a system as vulnerable as what you described that Chrysler has?
Well, I would say that would be less vulnerable because your phone obviously is another step in between the car and the internet. But these particular vehicles have a connection to Sprint's wireless network built into the car, so the car can get online directly by itself.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, these folks that are building these things may not have been thinking about, you know, the security as much as they probably should have, you know, putting these things together. So
yeah.
Chrysler has put out a patch. There's a software update that you can go and download. You can plug in your VIN number on their website to see if you're affected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, a lot of people aren't going to do that. And
well, yeah, how do you update your car? Do you have to go to the dealer or?
Well, there's a website you can go to, see if you're vulnerable. Right. If you are, you can download this file, put it on a USB stick, go out to your car, plug it in, and run through
the carburetor. Yeah, change the head gasket, and
I mean,
then you're good to go.
You probably should visit the dealer if you've got
or learn from Tesla, because that has a rather smooth update process. Isn't that one of the first cars that updated on its own, right?
Right, and that's one of the ironic things here, right? So this whole vulnerability is that people can connect to it over the internet wirelessly. They should be pushing this update out wirelessly well and making sure that all of these vehicles are immediately updated.
Yeah, and besides, updates are an arms race, because as soon as you update, then the hackers get ahead of you and you got to update again, and
Absolutely.
There could be some damage done in between.
This certainly won't be the last.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Jeremy, what's new on the dating scene?
Well, you may be looking for love in all the wrong places, because a Toronto-based startup called Instant Chemistry is suggesting that the laboratory has the answers to love. They are offering a testing service where you take your DNA and your partner's DNA and send this off to them, and then they do things like a psychological compatibility, a neurocompatibility, and a biocompatibility to really show you how you know compatible you are with someone.
That could only end in tears.
You know, it's a funny one. I can't believe that you people are doing this, but they are. It's a simple process, and I'm going to quote from their website here. Simply start by ordering the kit, spit in the tube, and send it off at your local FedEx office.
That is sexy.
It is.
That, yeah.
Yeah. But now you're already a couple. So what's the point? You're just going to break up. Are they going to get to the point where you can get a membership on a website and look for genetic matches?
Well, they do have a small button on the site that says singles, click here. And if you click on that, it takes you to a map that shows you some of their partners that are just that. They're matchmaking services. And these appear to be more, you know, high-touch services rather than just the generic online profiles of Match.com or some of those other services. And you essentially do a DNA profile and work with this matchmaker. And then they go into the database and see who else has been analyzed and then set you up based
That's a little scary.
Picture of myself with a fish on there? Is that part of it? I caught this fish, and here's my DNA, right?
Yes.
Right.
You should do that. We should follow up on this.
But you know what? Once they get to the point where people are picking and choosing, I mean, this is, it smacks of master race stuff, doesn't it?
It certainly could. It's, you know, it's kind of interesting that we've gone from test tube babies to lab-grown relationships. Who knows what's next?
Yeah. Instead of Tinder, to be like Hitler.
Okay.
On that note, I shall bid you adieu.
Yes, Jeremy Antacuni, thank you very much for the tech talk. We'll talk to you next time. Hitler.com?
Hitler. Yeah. So you are blue eyes and blonde. I think you are a match. You are Eva Braun.
Yes,
very
right.
Much.
Okay.
No hookups, though.
Right.
Right.
Why not just leave it to luck? Up next on the program, we're going to hear about the luckiest guy. I mean, when you look at the odds, the luckiest guy on the planet. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. The folks over at McDonald's have been getting closer and closer to serving breakfast all day long.
About time.
And yeah, it is. And now it looks like it's really going to happen. It looks like it could happen within 3 months.
There is nothing sadder than rolling up at 10:01
mm-hmm.
with a screaming hangover.
Yeah.
And just all you want in life, all your existence depends on an Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
And they won't give it to you.
Because they've retooled for lunch now.
Yes, it's 10:01.
They did that little Louvre thing. They flip the menu inside at the counter where all the breakfast items disappear.
They just vanish. They go into, sort of.
So a handful of good reasons to visit PhilHewlettAndFriends.com today and go to the show fun page. We have a human-sized water balloon popping in slow motion with a human inside it. It's rather fun to watch.
Thus the balloon being human-sized.
Yes. There's a golfer who is at the tee and hits a terrible drive and kills a seagull. There's video of that. And,
nice.
And then there's a guy who ruins a KKK parade by playing goofy music on his tuba while the Klansmen are marching by.
That's outstanding, like Oompa music,
like,
and stuff.
Boom, 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 boom. You know,
underscores their message that they're trying to get out there. That's awesome. That's outstanding. That's an upstanding American.
In America,
right,
they're free to assemble and free to march, and you're free to play the tuba on the sidewalk.
Yes.
it's wonderful. Now, the odds of things in life, people look at these, the odds makers look at them. I mean, the chances you're going to get hit by a truck when you cross the street are actually pretty good, aren't they?
Well, sure, they always talk about this. Which is more, and I forget, I don't know what's more likely, because what they say when you play the lottery is it's more likely that you'll get hit by lightning than you'll hit the big lotto winnings.
Yeah,
right?
And sometimes the Powerball is so huge and so many people are playing that the odds of you getting hit by lightning twice are better than winning the the Powerball.
Well, this is dude in Canada who started off as a teenager being hit by lightning, and then last week ended up hitting the lotto.
Oh, wow.
So he has been both hit by lightning
yeah.
and won the lotto.
He better look both ways before he crosses the street.
Which, so according to some mathematician who inserted themselves into this story, that works out to about a 1 in 2.6 trillion chance.
Wow.
He's this guy, Peter McCarthy. He's splitting the $1 million lotto prize with a coworker, Diana Miller.
Yeah.
And he also gets, not only does he get that, he gets an extra $10,000 since he owns the store where they bought the $3 ticket.
Now, look at that. So, it's almost not fair. That's like the person pulling the raffle ticket out of the hat and they or their family ends up winning.
Right. But wait, there's more.
Uh-oh.
What, a part of the 1 in 2.6 trillion calculation
mm-hmm.
comes from the fact that the guy's daughter has also been struck by lightning as well.
No kidding.
Yes.
What do they? They have a flagpole outside the liquor
Apparently,
store there where they work?
Whenever, yeah, there's a thunderstorm, they go fix the television antenna
yeah.
or play golf or something. That's the best time to go golfing.
They get in a boat and go fishing.
Right, and maybe getting hit by lightning increases your chances of winning the lottery because now you have to put that into the metric. Because if you look at this statistically now, how many people that have been hit by lightning also win the lottery, that now changes the entire metric. So if you're doing the math on this thing, maybe it's good to go out and, you know, golf shoes with a pointy stick in the air.
Yeah, but why do we play? You know, it always comes back to the same logic. People say these very words. Well, somebody's got to win.
Sure.
You all right?
Because if you don't, you'll never know. I mean, that's the wonder of the lottery. It's a complete mind thing.
Yeah.
To suck you in. But somebody ends up winning it, like this guy.
Yeah. And gets hit by lightning.
So keep that in mind when if you were buying the lottery ticket and the guy's like, well, you want your numbers, or you want a quick pick, and then lightning strikes, then yeah. you know you are hot on
fire.
Right.
That's right.
Let's go.
The hair on the back of your neck starts standing up when you're there handing over the money. Now, please, please do quick picks, because if you select the same numbers all the time and you skip a week and those numbers come up, you're gonna be praying for lightning to strike and
look,
just take you out.
Do the quick picks for those of us standing in line behind you.
Please.
Well, this was my aunt's birthday.
Got to start over.
My husband, he was in the war, see, so that's his birthday. Yeah. And
6 years later, I'm going to get my $5 worth of gas so I can get home. Thanks.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for your lottery ticket.
And a Slim Jim.
Yes.
Some time ago, we talked about a company in England called Shreddies that makes underwear that absorbs your flatulence.
And God bless the work they do.
Yeah, and we were at that time not sure how effective they are, but the company's sold tens of thousands of pairs, so they must be decent. What if you want to wear their underwear, or you don't want to wear their underwear, that is, or no, you know, you want to go commando and not wear any underwear at all? But you still want to get that gas-blocking power that their underwear provides. Well, good news, the company, Shreddies, just launched two new product lines. Now they make flatulence-absorbing jeans and flatulence-absorbing pajamas for both men and women.
Wow, that sounds sexy.
And stylish. They're decently stylish.
I'm sure.
But they'll set you back. $156 plus another $23 for shipping. The pajama pants are $117 plus the $23 for shipping. Even though they're considerably lighter than jeans, they still cost the same amount because that flatulent power somehow. They're probably tariffs and that sort of thing they have to charge.
It wouldn't be cheaper just to blame the dog.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't have a dog, so I blame the plant.
The plant.
Yeah, it's a ficus. That ficus over there, man.
Yeah, right. Smelly ficus.
Gross.
What can you do?
I don't know what it's eating, but, man, it's got to stop.
But would you pay $175 for flatulence-blocking jeans?
I don't pay $175 for pants.
No.
I mean, really.
No, those would have to be some great pants, huh?
I know, right?
Yes. You ever go to the Chipotle?
I do, yes. Yeah. Speaking of flatulent pants.
Yeah, right. There are secret menus out there floating around all kinds of places on the internet. You know, there's the one, McDonald's has a secret menu these days. But,
they have a secret menu?
Yes.
Like when you go to like In-N-Out and you order something animal style.
Right,
you know,
right.
So yeah. Is it like that? Is that
sure,
what you're talking about?
Sure, but every now and then there's a downside to that because what many of these restaurants do is they use their secret menu to kind of market test a new idea. And that's why I bring up Chipotle. they Chipotle's been secretly handing out their quesarito.
Okay.
That's a burrito quesadilla hybrid, a quesarito.
All right.
Now, if you ordered one, they'd make it for you. It's a quesadilla with two tortillas and cheese. Then you use that as a shell for your burrito. And they would do that for you for free.
Free?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it sounded magical just talking about it,
but
free.
But the staff at Chipotle hates the quesarito because it takes a lot of extra time to make.
I was going to say, it sounds like a pain in the ass to make.
And it screws up their assembly line efficiency.
Right.
Especially when there are long lines. And every now and then. And Chipotle, let's face it, the whole place is made out of aluminum. So when the lines are long and everybody's talking, it becomes cacophonous and you get a headache and the burrito doesn't taste as good.
So wait, what is this thing called again?
The quesarito.
So can I get a quesarito and pick my own lottery numbers?
No.
And bring this place to a complete standstill?
You certainly can't get it for free anymore. They're charging $3.50 for it.
All right. But now I'm intrigued. See?
Yeah. I think I want to try it and see if it ruins the experience there for everybody else.
If I can blow out my new jeans with a flatulence catcher in the
seat.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And Chipotle people, will you please pay attention and hang some tapestries or something and dampen the sound in your live room there. It's ridiculous how cacophonous it gets inside of a Chipotle because it's all made of metal. You gotta dampen that somehow. Put up some, what do you put up, some foam? Get some foam up there, tapestries. Exactly. Some soft surfaces to absorb not only the sound, but the flatulence that will come shortly after.
If it's that annoying to you, Phil, go to the drive-through like a normal human being, will you? You can sit in your car and listen to your Van Halen and just enjoy life more.
Right. By the way, stories that did not get on the air today. The sexiest male and female members of Congress.
Mm, yeah, that's a shame we didn't get to that.
And the details on this breaking news story, the more you hate your job, the more you look forward to weekends.
Hmm. I hope they spent extra time on that, figuring that one out.
Right. It's breaking news on that right there.
Tax dollars. Hopefully tax dollars.
Exactly. Oh, and by the way, if you check your symptoms online at medical websites.
Oh, like WebMD or something like that?
Yeah, it's generally unreliable.
Oh, yeah. WebMD, I'm already dead, according to WebMD. I'm not even,
Hey, we love your comments, especially if you're an MD. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at FAF Show. That's PHAF, you know, like Phil Hewlett and Friends. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettandFriends. Like us. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. Can you tell the show's almost over? For Gonzo, Greg, and all of the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8880 or visit spiritmarine.com.